T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Yankees haven't played in a while, but they will be playing tomorrow, and they'll have a couple of doubleheaders against the Mets over the weekend. We talk a little Yankee baseball with Sweeney Murdy. Sweeney, how are you?
What's up, Sweeney?
Wonderful, fellas. How you doing?
Doing all right.
I mean, I miss baseball, and I think Yankee fans feel the same way, especially with what happened last week. To get swept by the Tampa Bay Rays, and I thought, and I quoted your text to me because I thought it was very accurate, that Yankees Rays in a lot of ways is Duke, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. It's a matchup you want to win. You want to beat that team, but it's all probably going to be determined in October when both teams are in the tournament. But how about what this five-day layoff is going to do to impact the Yankees in a positive way because of all the injuries they're dealing with?
Yeah, well, I mean, in a way, I mean, it's they're getting Aaron Judge back, which they would have gotten back on Saturday, it sounds like, anyway. So you miss a couple of games with him. You have him back for Tuesday. You reset your pitching, and you get Cole and Tanaka for the two games in Atlanta. But you're going to have to dig deeper with all these doubleheaders coming up. And two next weekend, that's going to force you to make some moves. They have not really, they have not announced yet any of the additions they have to make to this roster. But remember, you know, when the Yankees take the field again, they'll have Aaron Judge back, but their double play combination is Tyler Wade and Tyler Estrada. And, however long that's going to last, everybody else has to kind of pick up the slack a little bit. Judge has to really come back and kind of hit the ground running. Sanchez has to get hot. The guys that are in there right now that you kind of count on, they have to really pick things up because you're not getting the same level of production as you were or would have with DJ LeMahieu or Gleyber Torres in the middle.
You know, I thought for the first time in the Tampa series that we actually, with all the depth the Yankees have had and all the, what they did last year with all the injuries, That Tampa series was the first time you actually said, wow, they really do miss Judge and DJ. I think that's the first time you really kind of felt even as good as all these other guys have been, boy, the Yankees are really just not the same team without those guys.
Well, two things about that, Joe. I think you felt it in, I think it was the first game of the series when the Yankees loaded the bases in the seventh inning with one out, and the top of the order was coming up.
Yep.
And it was Voit and Urshela at the top.
Right.
Have performed very well, like you said, but a pitcher will think of it a lot differently if he sees LeMahieu and Judge coming up. And I think it made a difference there. I mean, I don't know if it made a difference there. You could have struck out LeMahieu and Judge, but the point is, it's a lot different lineup, and you probably could have at least thought of a different result with a fully healthy team. The other thing about this is, and I mentioned this, I tweeted about this yesterday, depth is great when you fill in one or two pieces. When you have to fill in a bunch of them and they're all your best players, depth becomes a lot less than that. And when you're talking about, as I said, when you're talking about taking Torres and LeMahieu out of the middle of the field at the same time, you're no longer just talking about depth. You're taking a big hit. And when last year, when all these things were happening, let's not forget that DJ LeMahieu and Gleyber Torres were playing all-star and MVP caliber baseball almost every day. You never had those guys missing from the lineup for a large chunk of time. And any other team that gets hit with injuries to star players doesn't usually have that. That's part of depth, too, having a lot of stars in the lineup. But they could withstand that in a way because they had two players playing at MVP levels that were in there every day, regardless of who else was coming in and out of the lineup.
You know what I would do, and I don't think it's going to happen, by the way, because Aaron Boone has given no indication of even thinking about this, but I would do it for a few reasons, and that's not every day, but I'd play Gio Urshela a little bit at shortstop, a position he played a little bit with the Blue Jays. He has some experience over there, and it's not because I don't want Estrada and Wade in the lineup. It's a part of giving Andujar a chance. I mean, despite all these injuries, Sween, that you talked about, he's one of the guys that's not getting an opportunity because of the positions that have been hurt. You know, they obviously have a lot of depth in the outfield. Mike Tauchman's playing more. Clint Frazier's playing more. Voit and Ford playing both sometimes at the same time. Andujar hasn't really gotten that much of a chance. I get why you wouldn't want to do it every day, but I kind of like the idea of Gio Urshela a couple of times a week while both these guys are out, playing a little shortstop, and it gets Andujar an opportunity to play third base. It doesn't seem, though, like that's something Aaron's going to do, maybe in the middle of a game, but maybe certainly not to start a game. There's been no indication of that. What do you think of that?
He actually mentioned that as a possibility of just using him there, but you're right, and didn't commit to anything as far as starting him there or how he'd use him. I don't love the range on the left side of the infield. If it's Urshela at short, which, you know, as good as he is defensively, at third, the range is maybe the one thing that sets him apart from some of the other elite third basemen in the league. Move him to short, I think that really shows up more. And then Duhar, third base, you know, he has some issues there too. Just having both those guys together on the left side would not be my first choice. But, yeah, I hear you. If you're looking to find options to get Duhar in the lineup, you really only have two choices. One is play him at third base, and two is DH him against lefties probably. And unless you've got a big stretch of him coming up, or you know, even trying to use him off the bench as a bat against a tough lefty, I mean, that's not something that he's used to doing. And we saw it, you know, last week where it didn't really work out very well. The thing I keep thinking about Andujar is one thing we have to remember is how young he is and how much time he has missed the last 2 years. And none of it really his own fault. One was an injury and one was a pandemic. And he has played think about anybody in their early 20s having to really just miss two huge years of development. Well, I think no matter what role you're using Andujar in right now for the next month and change, to expect him to just hit the ground running like 2 years ago, I think is a big ask.
But I think that's part of the concern I have over him right now. In 2018, he should have won Rookie of the Year. You know, I think he should have won Rookie of the Year. Since then, and you mentioned the reasons why, injury, obviously the pandemic, and the Yankee depth, he's only had 68 major league at-bats in the last 2 years, and he hasn't hit. And yeah. Clint Frazier, to his credit, has shown this ability of, all right, we're going to call you up, and he hits. It seems like Clint Frazier, for the most part, has hit, and Miguel hasn't hit in these little opportunities he has, and you just wonder, well, what's going to happen to him then? I mean, if he's never going to get a full opportunity, and he's not performing well in the little cracks of opportunities he gets, what's going to come of Miguel Andujar?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we talk about Gio Urshela as being the Yankee starting third baseman until 2027. You know, I don't know what the right answer is for Andujar, but I just feel like his lost development time has really sidetracked him, and it would be a shame to try to give up on him or think of him as a trade piece now, because you're struggling to find an opportunity for him. Unless it's something that makes a whole lot of sense. You know, you don't have to do anything with him. It's okay to keep good players because, as we're finding out, you're always one injury away from needing somebody like that. And Duhar hasn't been put in that position that Frazier has been in a few times. So this is really the first time he's kind of being in this spot. Maybe he gets some at-bats now, he gets a little used to it, and maybe he comes up and you know, helps the Yankees in this situation a little bit. Frazier has cooled off a little bit from the time he first came up last few games. You know, Tampa Bay series had a lot to do with that. But, you really like to see some of these guys, any of them, really making a dent in this right now, because there are a lot of players missing. And other than Judge, none of them are coming back real soon.
All right, Paxton's going to be out, looks like, for a while. And you got the doubleheaders coming up this weekend. Who's moving into that slot in the rotation, Swing?
Well, you definitely have some internal options here that guys have given you length, like Loaiziga and King. You have Sessa can give you some innings. But I feel like you're going to have to call up somebody, and Davey Garcia is on the 40-man roster. They're talking about getting good reports from what he's been doing at the alternate site. I got to feel like if you're going to play two doubleheaders over the course of this weekend, and you have another one coming up the next weekend in Baltimore, he might have to get a chance here at one of these points. People keep saying Clark Schmidt. I get it, and maybe that will happen, but there's a 40-man roster move needed to make that happen, and teams generally, if you don't have to do that, you don't want to rush that and you know try losing a player that you don't have to lose. So that would play a factor here unless you're backed into a corner and say that that's what you have to do in order to get this done. The tricky part about Paxton here, Joe, is that he's shut down from throwing for 2 weeks, which means you're probably, what, another 2 to 3 weeks from seeing him pitch in a real game, I would think, at least, right? So you're a week away from a trade deadline. You're not going to have any information on him as far as what he's going to give you coming back between now and next Monday. So you kind of have to, you know, I don't know how you roll the dice here and figure out what you need at the deadline when you might get an opportunity over the weekend on one of these doubleheaders to get one look at some of your pitching depth, and you have zero information on how Paxton is recovering. So it's a tricky spot the Yankees are going to find themselves in as they get closer to Monday.
Yeah, and they could, you know, do the opener, especially in the seven-inning doubleheaders. They're going to have a few of them with the Mets. They seem to be effective with that. Jonathan Loaisiga looks pretty good usually for two innings. And even without Zach Britton, they still have a relatively deep bullpen. At times, Luis Cessa's look good. The Clark Schmidt thing, though, you brought him up. How much of the 40-man roster thing is a big factor here? Because he wowed a lot of Yankee fans during summer camp. He's one of their top prospects. He's rated by, I think, by Baseball America as he's in the top 60, top 70, somewhere in that range. How much of the roster crunch, starting the clock on him, is a factor in the decision maybe not to bring him up?
I think it's always, you know, as Aaron Boone likes to say, it's all baked into the cake, right? I mean, it's all part of it. I don't think there's any one overriding factor here, but if you're trying to figure out how to maximize your roster, you don't want to add somebody and lose somebody if you don't have to do that, if you have another option for that. And that's why, and here's the hard part. I can't look at a AAA season and say, wow, look, Garcia's only 2-4 at AAA, and Schmidt is 7-0.
We have nothing like that.
No, and all you're doing is based off. Now, I asked Boone about this probably about a week ago, maybe, and ask him, like, what kind of information is he getting on a daily basis to tell him what's happening in Scranton with these guys? And in that ballpark, they have all their technological stuff to monitor what they're doing. So you get that kind of data that you'd get in real game situations, but it's all scrimmages and intra squad, and you know it's hardly red light time. You know, you don't know how these guys respond in that situation. So, if I was going to guess, I think Garcia gets a shot before Schmidt does, and I think a lot of other people do before Schmidt does, just because of the 40-man roster situation. It has nothing to do with lack of confidence in him and things like that, but you're always looking forward to managing your roster, both short and long term, and everybody is going to look at that as a consideration, not just the Yankees.
You know, one guy who's really been tremendous is Voit. Luke Voit, we saw him even hit in the leadoff spot there the other day. Of course, he does get on base, but he's been good. He's got like 10 home runs. I mean, he's emerged as a legitimate big-time power hitter, Sweeney.
I thought he was going to be an all-star last year before he got hurt in the London series. So, I mean, you know, a couple of more days, he probably, as you know, people shifted in and out of the all-star game, I thought he would have been named to the all-star team. That's how good of a season he was having last year before the abdominal injury. And coming back from that and having the full time to recover here, he's a really good player. And the more I think about it, I'm wondering what kinds of, if that's a kind of a trade that you could see. Remember, the Yankees made that deal for him 2 years ago at the deadline, and it wasn't considered a deal for a major league player at the time. You were doing some roster maneuvering. You were taking from a position of strength, which was relief pitching. They had They sent Giovanni Gallegos and Chasen Shreve to the Cardinals. Right, Cardinals needed a lefty reliever. They wanted Gallegos, and Gallegos pitched pretty well for them last year.
Oh, he's awesome. Like, that's the one thing we shouldn't forget about this. Not that it was a bad trade for the Yankees. I still think it's great for the Yankees, but Giovanni Gallegos is awesome, quite frankly.
Yeah. So the Cardinals are pretty happy with that side because they had a surplus at Voit's position, and he wasn't going to be used. And the Yankees had a little bit of a surplus with the pitchers, and they wanted some more depth at that position. Well, the depth got tested right away because of some injuries, and he came up and he did what he did, and you saw the Yankees got a good player. But the point is, the time of that trade, it was really two organizations trading, you know, surplus for surplus and kind of slotting them in later, not, oh my gosh, here's a player we plug right in right away. And I wonder if those are the kinds of trades that get made more between now and the 31st.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to figure on making a major mortgage of your minor league system to get a star player you might have for a month if the season continues and concludes. I don't know how willing teams are going to be to make that sort of a commitment. And I just looked at it again today. You know, go back and look at what the White Sox got out of James Shields.
Oh, God.
They sent Fernando Tatis Jr. to San Diego 4 years ago.
That's an all-timer, Sween. That has a chance to move into that list of, you know, just absolute worst trades you'll ever see. Not only because Tatis may end up being the best player in baseball, but it's not like big game James was all that good for Chicago. But luckily for the White Sox, things are okay right now. It's not as if
another point
of talent
just popped into my head about that doubleheader, though.
Yeah.
Cole pitches tomorrow. He's lined up for Sunday.
Yeah.
So you can get 7 innings out of Gerrit Cole, perhaps, and not
does
have
that,
to beat anybody.
It should be 7 innings out of
does that, and I was thinking about this, and the Yankees can do this. The Mets, I don't know how many guys are in the rotation right now. I mean, basically, it's Jacob DeGrom, Rick Porcello, and nothing else. We'll see who's healthy. The Yankees, even with the Paxton injury, they got 4 guys. You know, Montgomery, Happ, Tanaka, Cole.
Yep.
And I'm trying to remember back to the Philly doubleheader and the Tampa doubleheader. I think they used an opener in one of the two games. It almost makes sense to use your bullpen game in the second game of a doubleheader when you're using your big ace in the first game of your doubleheader. Because even if Cole only goes 6 innings, he's still pitching the majority of the game, you know?
Yeah, they did the same thing in the Tampa series a couple of weeks ago at Tropicana Field, too. Using a first game. So here's the thing I wondered, and I don't know if it's possible. It's probably just a little bit too long of a sit down for these guys. But I'm wondering if you got a guy who can give you length. Let's just pick, you know, Loaiza or any of these guys. Okay, if he pitches, say, the 6th and 7th inning of game 1.
Oh yeah, let him start
game
the next
2
one.
Starts half an hour later.
Right.
Is that too long to sit him down and start him back up
you know,
and have him pitch 2 more innings in
Sweeney,
game 2?
You know what's funny about that? I don't know, Joe, if you remember this, because I think I sold you on the idea, but do you remember the Met game that got suspended against the Cardinals because Pete Alonso didn't want them to stop the game because of the
rain? Oh, yeah, and they wound up losing that game.
They wound up losing because they went to Edwin Diaz. They kept Edwin Diaz in.
Yep.
The starting pitcher that day, that night for the Mets, and I know we're going to hear the name and think of bad stuff, but it was Steven Matz. And I remember thinking that exact same idea, and I remember saying it to you, Joe, saying, you know, forget Diaz. How about you start Matz, you know, pitches his first inning or two, hopefully the Mets win, and then have him come out for the second game. So it's not the craziest thing in the world. I don't know if they do it, but it's certainly not nuts.
It's probably just too long on the border of how long do you let a guy sit, you know, like rain delays and stuff. I always remember, you know, David Cone in his perfect game, the rain delay was only half an hour. And if it had been, you know, an hour, I don't know if you see him come out after 3 innings and finish that perfect game. But it was just short enough where you could bring him back out. So half an hour is kind of like that. I always think of that as kind of like this borderline. Well, if you're starting the game 30 minutes later and 35 minutes later, yeah, I guess it depends what you're pitching, you know, top or bottom of the inning, whatever, this and that. But I always thought that could be something interesting, but you probably don't. I don't think anybody ever really risks it. They probably just go deeper into their bullpen, especially when you're carrying 15 pitchers. You probably don't risk something like that.
There's no reason Cole, and I said this about DeGrom too, there's no reason Cole should pitch 6-7 innings in a 7-inning doubleheader game. I mean,
unless you give up 4 runs in the second.
Well, yeah, I mean, if he gets beat up, that's a different story.
Assuming it's a normal situation and, you know, he's not too taxed, one of the things I forget which game it was now. It might have been the Tampa game where we thought he was going to go longer, but they just kept putting such good at-bats on him.
Oh, he came out before the fifth. That was where he couldn't get the win.
Right. That was the game they won. That's the one game they beat Tampa this
year.
That's
right.
He was getting a lot of strikeouts, and it was but it was still just these long at-bats and you know, fouling off good pitches and things like that. So, yeah, it sounds great in theory, and I think that's probably what you're going to be doing is thinking about, okay, Cole starts game one on Sunday, and then you don't announce who's starting game two until you see how that game goes. You know, maybe you have somebody waiting in reserve. I think they get an extra player for the doubleheader, that kind of thing. But if you want it to work out perfectly, I think you try to get a seven-inning complete game and then empty the bullpen in game two.
Absolutely. And hopefully we get Cole DeGrom on that one of the seven-inning game doubleheaders. That'd be cool to watch.
Two complete games. Let's go.
Yes.
In two complete seven-inning games in less than 3 hours? Can we do that?
In less than 3 hours? It better be for a seven-inning game.
Right.
Sweeney, listen, the Yankees played with 2 hours and 40 minutes in some of these seven-inning doubles.
No. It can easily be 3 hours. I'm saying if it's Cole versus DeGrom, it would be, it'd be quick. Sweeney, good talking to you. We appreciate it.
All right, fellas.
See you, Sweeney.
Sweeney's Yankee Report brought to you by your Tri-State Mercedes dealer. Shop online, over the phone, or in person at your local Mercedes-Benz Tri-State dealer. By Interstate Batteries. Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need. By Wall Hour Paint and Design and Ace Hardware Stores. Visit shopwallhour.com for online ordering. And by Montefiore, doing more.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.